Now, though, it's 7:45 and time for our Saturday night theatre.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful.
Out of the way!
Spanish Gold by George Birmingham, adapted for radio by Alan England, with Kieran Cunningham as the Reverend J.J. Melbourne.
Mr. Melbourne, sir.
Thank you, Mrs. Mulligan. Good heavens, J.J.
I'm sorry if I kept you waiting, Major.
What's happened to you?
I ran into a donkey and returned to the dust, as we say in the profession.
Donkeys? They're damned... I beg your pardon, a confounded nuisance. You'd like a wash, of course.
I'd rather have a drink at the moment.
Oh, help yourself.
Thirsty weather, too, for the end of May. Are those the papers you wanted me to look at?
Can you read Latin and Greek?
You're looking at a B.A. of Trinity College, Dublin, and a man of the cloth to boot. If it's translation you want...
I meant, can you read lawyer's English?
Anybody's English, my dear chap. What's your difficulty?
Old Sir Giles Buckley's dead.
I know that. My rector's in a fine fix over losing his subscription to the church. The old boy hasn't been near the place this 20 years, but he's always paid up like a man. And now the property has gone to a nephew who means to sell it. Isn't there a son somewhere?
There is, J.J. Bad lot, too. Cards, women, horses, the devil. Lord alone knows where he is now. He got the baronetcy, of course, and the house.
No use pinning my hopes on him, then. For the subscription, I mean.
A darn sight more to lose than a subscription.
How come?
It's the very land we're standing on. My grandfather got it as a reward from old Sir Giles's father. They've been Kents in Portsmouth Lodge for 3 generations.
And you're afraid this nephew will sell it over your head?
I'd like to know what title I've got if he tries.
Is that all? Just hand me over those papers. You trot off and do anything you think you have to do before dinner. Oh, and the little brown book. Unless it's private.
It's not private, but unimportant. It's only an old diary of my grandfather's.
It may seem unimportant to a mere amateur, but it could contain vital information. Thank you.
I'll go down and have a look at the Spindrift. I'm having her overhauled for a cruise. I say, you wouldn't like to come with me, would you? Maybe to Inishgowan and shoot seals.
I'm booked. I promised to spend a week with my old governor and the rest of the time with my little girl.
Your little girl?
Major Kent, you're a callous old misogynist.
I wish you wouldn't use language like that outside the pulpit, J.J.
It means you're a woman hater.
Huh? Oh, that's all right, then.
And now, the papers.
If you'd like a wash before you start... All right, I'm going.
Well, Major, I've given it a lot of thought.
Yes?
And I've decided to come with you on your cruise after all.
Oh, really? Splendid.
We go to Inishgowan, all right, but bring back a whole pot of money, thousands and thousands of pounds.
Oh, I know what you're on about now. I've read that diary. You've got hold of that cock and bull story about the Spanish shipwreck and the lost treasure.
Do you mean to deny that a Spanish ship was wrecked in Inishgowan?
No, I don't. There's a fair chance that it was. Lots of them were wrecked around the west coast of Ireland.
The diary says a Spanish captain with the remains of his crew left in 2 small boats and couldn't take the treasure with them.
If there ever was a treasure.
It also says in the diary that old Sir Giles and your grandfather made an expedition to the island in 1798 to carry out a search.
They did, yes. Now, they didn't find anything, though.
The first thing is to put ourselves in the place of the Spanish captain. If you'd been here and found you couldn't carry out the treasure, what would you have done with it?
I'd have buried it, I suppose.
Only if you'd been a perfect fool. The islanders would have watched you night and day.
What would you have done, then?
Simple, my dear Major. I'd have picked out an unobtrusive-looking hole or cleft in the rocks, just above high water mark, and dumped the stuff down there. What we have to do is find that hole or cleft.
But the island's 2 miles around.
We shall proceed on a carefully reasoned scientific plan, which I shall think out and explain to you once we get there. We'll have to spin some yarn to the natives, otherwise they may want to share. I take it there are no problems with the spindrift.
She's in tip-top condition.
Good.
By the way, just before you arrived, I had a visit from Jimmy Boyle. He brought one of his guests. His only one, probably. Wanted to hire a boat for a month. Man in a fur coat called Langton. Most likely knows no more about sailing than I do about midwifery. As if I'd lend spindrift to a stranger I'd never set eyes on before in any case. Quite apart from having my own plans for her.
I wonder if I could offer him my boat, since she'd be lying idle. Do you think £30 would be reasonable?
For the Oriole? It's not worth that to buy.
Well, I'd prepare to take 25, which is what I paid for it. That way I'd make no profit.
But you'll still have the boat at the end of the month.
Will I? If what you say about this Langton fellow is true, there'll be precious little of her left by then. She's rotten already.
He did say something about a companion, another man.
Oh. Did he? He might manage to potter among the islands in the bay, though, without too much risk. I think I'll trot along to Boyle's hotel after dinner and call on our Mr. Langton.
I'll go and dress. We can sort out the details of our cruise while we eat. You would like a wash now, wouldn't you, J.J.? This is the life, what, J.J.?
Wonderful. Glad we're not on the Oriole, though. It's a bit rough here.
I hope nobody's on the Oriole if she ventures as far as this.
Langton assured me they would confine themselves to Ballymoy. My conscience is clear.
Even after squeezing £25 out of him?
He didn't have to pay.
But since yours was the only available boat in the district...
It made it even more of a price. Anyway, he had a nasty streak in him, I could sense it. And that didn't improve his bargaining position. I suppose we'll be anchoring in that bay dead ahead.
Perfect shelter from the west, north and south.
You're sure it's Enniskowlin? You're quite sure it's not Inishmore?
Inishmore's the bigger island over there, as well you know.
It's just that I seem to remember you telling me there was nobody in Inishgowlin except natives.
There wasn't the last time I was there.
And that they lived in thatch cabins?
Yes.
Well, there's a galvanized iron hut on the grass just above the shore of the bay.
Take the tiller a minute and give me those glasses. By George, you're right. It's like one of those that engineers live in.
They couldn't be building a railway in Inishgowlin, could they?
It's only a mile long.
Or a pier.
They've got one already.
I'll wager it's a government official of some kind. It could turn awkward for us.
How?
The government sets up a claim to all treasure that's found buried or hidden anywhere. It won't do to let this fellow find out what we're after. We'll have to adopt a disguise.
Disguise? If you imagine for one moment that I'm going to wander around this island dressed up in a false beard and blue spectacles...
What I mean is we've got to tell him some cock... Give him some plausible excuse for our spending a week here.
Tell him we're trolling.
But where are our nets? Suppose we told him we're out to learn Irish.
But I'd turn 50. Besides, the fool will very likely be learning Irish himself and will get drawn in.
It looks as if the inhabitants are turning out en masse to welcome us. All 10 families. There's somebody else there too. Pass me the glasses again. Grey tweed trousers. Brown boots and spectacles. Good Lord.
What's the matter?
Higginbotham. He was in my class in college. I heard he got a job with the congested districts board. Why would the board have a man out here?
Does there have to be a reason? Round her into the wind. We'll drop anchor here.
I've been thinking, Major. If that is Higginbotham, we're in luck. He'll be totally absorbed in the job he's assigned to. He won't want to meddle with the treasure.
I suggest you go and deal with him yourself. Take the punt. But don't you let me in for anything.
It's a small world, Higginbotham, and no mistake. The last time I saw you was when we graduated together.
I'm very glad you came, J.J. It gets lonely here. But I thought you were a parson.
I am. This is me seafaring outfit. Hmm? Tell me, what brings you to this island?
The board has bought it, and I'm striping it.
Striping it?
Dividing it up into proper-sized compact farms. Building fences and walls, so that people won't be holding it as they are at present, in little bits. They don't know properly what belongs to each of them.
Will you soon be done?
I would be, but for some old fellow who's blocking the whole project.
That doesn't surprise me, knowing the Irish.
He has a wretched little field right in the middle of the island and a tumble-down shed of a house, and he refuses to budge.
Typical.
There's a hole in the middle of his field, too. A heifer once fell down it and got killed, but he won't let me put a fence up.
Ridiculous. Why don't you reason with him?
He only speaks Irish.
And you don't?
I'm learning. I've got books.
I'd teach him myself, if I had the time.
How long will you be here, then?
A week. But we'll be very busy.
Busy? What are you going to do?
I'm here with my friend, Major Kent. He's been sent to make a geological survey of the island.
Really? I never heard anything about that. The board ought to have let me know.
Oh, no, he's not acting for the board. It was the Lord Lieutenant and the Chief Secretary who sent him. An important syndicate has made the government an offer for the mining rights of the island.
Over the head of the board?
More like a case of the left hand not knowing what the right hand was doing.
But there are no minerals on this island at all. There's only Pliocene clay.
Pliocene clay? I'm not an expert, Higginbotham, but it doesn't look like Pliocene clay to me.
I assure you, JJ, the geological
I don't propose to argue with you. What's more, I don't advise you to argue with the Major. The best thing for you to do is not to let on you know what he's here for at all. He's a man of violent temper if he's aroused.
Golly.
In fact, they say his career in the army was cut short on account of his smashing up a man who insisted on asking him questions.
All right, old man, I'll be careful. Anyway, you and the Major had better come and feed with me tonight. It won't be sumptuous,
We'd but, be delighted. I'll just take a stroll round the island and then go and fetch the Major ashore.
Told him what, JJ?
I told him you were a mining expert and that you'd been sent by the Lord Lieutenant and the Chief Secretary to make a geological survey of the island.
Great Scott!
Steady, Major. These punts easily capsize.
But, JJ...
What do you know about Pliocene clay?
Not a thing. Why?
According to Higginbotham, the whole island consists of nothing else. You must try to hide your ignorance in that case.
Turn round and row back to the Spindrift. I'll up anchor and leave this place tonight. I'm not going to be made a fool of.
But the treasure...
Confound the treasure. I don't believe in it anyway.
Listen, Major. I put Higginbotham completely off the scent. We can go where we like and do what we like. He won't ask any questions.
What else have you told him?
Nothing else. I never say a word more than is necessary. There's no commoner mistake than overdoing one's disguise.
Well, I wish you'd put on the disguise yourself. I hate
I didn't realize you felt so strongly, Major. I shall find an opportunity to tell him something about myself, but if he'll swallow that story straight after the other one, I can say. I never thought corned beef, sardines, lobster and tongue could taste so good.
Quite a banquet. Thanks to your contribution, Major.
My pleasure.
I'll drop more whiskey, Higginbotham.
Yes, please.
Fascinating, all your plans for the island.
Oh, do you think so?
You shouldn't have given the Major a hammock chair, Higginbotham. He can hardly keep awake. Tell us more about the fly in the ointment.
Oh, yes. Well, they call him the King of the Island, but he's just sort of head of the family. They're all brothers and sisters and cousins and so on.
What's his name?
Thomas O'Flaherty Pat.
Thomas O'Flaherty ought to be enough for any king. Who needs the Pat?
Ah, the trouble is, there are three other Thomas O'Flahertys on the island. Thomas O'Flaherty Tom, Thomas O'Flaherty...
I'm afraid you won't find Inishgowland very interesting, Major Kent, from your point of view, as a man of science.
Eh?
The geological formation...
As a matter of fact, the Major is tremendously interested in Pliocene clay. It's been his hobby, nay, his passion, since his childhood. I told you all about the Major, remember?
Yes, I was only going to say...
I took a walk before dinner and had a look at the island. I came to the conclusion that we couldn't find a better place for the school.
What school?
Oh, did I forget to mention it?
I never heard anything about a school.
Or perhaps the post is rather irregular here. The fact is that the Board of National Education, that is, has determined to build a school on the island and asked me to run across and look out for a site.
Hey,
careful, Major, you follow to your hammock. I know what you're going to say, official secrecy and that sort of thing. But it doesn't matter, mention it to Higginbotham. He's in the government service himself.
Of course.
The board didn't actually send me here. But when they heard I was coming, they sort of cashed in on it.
I see. I think.
I can understand your perplexity, Higginbotham, modest fellow that you are. The board has heard of all you're doing here and naturally wants to put a finishing touch to the work by providing for the education of the children.
But there are only 9 of them.
Should even 9 go ignorant to their graves?
And what site have you got in mind for this school?
There's a house. No, a hovel. Just under the brow of the hill above the place we're sitting now. Bang in the middle of the island.
The ideal spot.
That's Thomas O'Flaherty Pratt's place. The one he won't give up.
I'll manage him. Don't you worry. Just give me the week. And now I think it's time the Major and I get back to our floating home. It's a wonderfully pleasant out here. But it'll soon be dark.
Capital morning for a sail to some of the other islands. What do you say, JJ?
Capital morning for hunting treasure too and Inishgowran. I sat for nearly an hour on top of the island yesterday and I concluded that the most likely place for a galleon to be wrecked was on the exposed side. If you remember, we thought the Spanish captain would deposit the treasure in a hole as near to the wreck as possible. Having fixed the site of the shipwreck, all we have to do is find a hole.
And of course you fixed the site of the shipwreck.
Once you've seen it, I'm sure you'll agree I have.
Looks like another silent reception committee waiting for us on the pier. One man and five children, as far as I can make out.
Visitors are curiosities, no doubt.
Speak for yourself, JJ.
Major, do you think that could be old Thomas O'Flaherty Pat himself? He has a royal look about him, hasn't he? Decidedly superior air. But I can't say much for his robes of state. I wonder if he talked to us.
Soon find out.
Good morning to you. Glorious weather we're having.
Neil Berlogum.
Come now, you needn't play that game with me. I'm not a government official, you can trust me.
Neil Berla or Beogum. Herod, this fuckle.
I'll try these children then. Any small change, Major?
How much?
Sixpence will do. Now you, my dear. Bridget, is it? Nora.
It is not. It's Mary Kate.
What a pretty name. And tell me, Mary Kate, is that old man over there called Thomas O'Flaherty Pat?
He might.
This is for you, then. Take it up to the gentleman who lives in the iron house.
The man that does be measuring the land?
The very one. Ask him for sixpence worth of sugar candy. Don't be put off if he tells you he hasn't got any. He has sacks and sacks of it and he eats it himself. Off you go then.
Yes, sir.
Now what?
Treasure, I think, don't you? You're not fit, Major. That's the trouble with you.
I'm twice your age, man.
We seem to have shaken off that old man. He followed us across the fields. Did you notice?
Can't say as I did.
I'd like to know what he's up to.
How much further is there to go?
I calculate that we're nearly halfway along the foot of the cliff, which means the scene of the shipwreck is just around those rocks across the bay. Come on, there's no time for loafing about.
Loafing?
I don't believe it. Sitting on that stone at the foot of the cliff.
It's the old man. How did he get in front of us?
He came down that path on the ridge, of course.
Pity we didn't know about that. I suggest we go up it now.
Eventually, Major. I shouldn't wonder if he has some inkling of what we're after. He'll know about the treasure from folklore handed down. He thinks he'll let us find it with our superior intelligence and then claim a share. We've got to put him off the scent.
But he won't talk to us.
He can understand us, though. Listen. I'm going to pretend to be a bug hunter. Take my arm. I hope, Professor, that our long journey has not been in vain. These rock and pools are just the habitat for the Athelonia miserabilis. Ah, here's a nice deep pool, Professor. I'll just feel around, see what I can find. What's he doing now?
He's coming over.
There is one there, all right, but it got away. Oh, hello, sir. We're looking for the
Paphlagonia.
Athelonia miserabilis. Do you know the creature?
Neil Burla Orbeogum, Herod S. Fockle.
Oh, yes, I forgot about the Burla. Well, I'm going to try somewhere else. It's a long, slow business. Over here, Professor. What's he doing now?
He's turning away.
We've won.
These lies of yours will get you into trouble one of these days, to say nothing of me.
My lies, as you call them, got rid of that troublesome old fool who might have gone on following us all day. Economy, as it's called, consists in dealing out to the average man just the amount of truth he's fit to receive and no more. Tell him the whole truth and he won't believe you. The church has always gone on that principle. I think we can press on now.
That's it. I've had enough. Anyway, the tide's on the turn. We'll be trapped if we go any further.
No further to go, mate.
You keep saying that.
Now tell me, what do you see before you?
Oh, a channel.
What kind of a channel?
A long, narrow one.
And at the inland end of the channel?
A hole in the rocks.
And what did I say we were looking for?
Well, it'll soon be full of water. And since I can neither swim nor fly...
This is the site of the shipwreck. I'm convinced of it. Can't you picture the scene, Major? The galleon, disabled by the loss of one of her masts, comes driving down on the island before a nor'westerly gale. Where does she strike? On the promontory we've just passed. Then a great sea lifts her stern and slews it round, and she drifts, stern foremost, into this channel and sticks fast. The captain uses our one remaining boat to ferry the treasure into the hole in the cliff. What do you say to that?
Well, it's a possibility, I suppose.
Is there a better hypothesis?
Why are you taking all your clothes off?
I'm going to swim to that hole. I shouldn't be long. We should be looking.
Great Scott!
I wish you wouldn't do that, Major.
Look, seated above the hole. You see who it is?
Thomas O'Flaherty Path.
He can't have believed that story about the Paphlagonia, was it?
What horrible skeptics some people are.
What are we going to do now?
Go home, I suppose, for today. We'll come back tomorrow at low tide.
The old man will follow us again.
Oh, no, he won't. I'll manage him.
How?
If I say I'll manage him, he'll be managed. But it's a waste of breath to talk to you in your present mood.
Well, I wouldn't care much to be climbing up this path 5 or 6 times a day with a creel of seaweed on my back. It's a hard life for the poor.
She'll be doing the walk with a bag of doubloons shortly. How about that for a view? The bay's magnificent. It's as if the island's embracing it.
And there's my old Spindrift, the most beautiful sight of all.
Spindrift, yes.
JJ, what's that other boat?
She looks to me uncommonly like my old Oriole.
Now, what brings her here?
I didn't expect them to leave my bay. My conscience is clear, as I've said. I wonder who he is.
A tourist?
In Inishgowlin. It isn't even on the map. There's only one other thing he can be. A member of Parliament who wants to look at the condition of Ireland for himself before he commits himself to an opinion on Home Rule. It'll be rotten bad luck if he is. He'll never believe my story about the National Board wanting to build a school.
Or that story about the Geological Survey.
You could be sent to jail for contempt of the Chief Secretary.
Why me? It was your story.
I tell you what, as soon as we've had a bite to eat, I'll paddle across to the Oriole and call on him. Get in first before he meets Higginbotham.
Tin brawn and bread and butter. It's a good thing I lost my appetite.
Suits me fine. I need every minute I can get.
Well, it'll be tin brawn and biscuits tomorrow, without a bread.
Sufficient unto the day, Major. We've got a visitor.
You'll have the paint of us before he's done.
It'll be him, the Member of Parliament from the Oriole. I call this most fortunate, Major. We ought to offer him a bite to eat. I'll go up and bring him down.
Offer him a bite to eat. Tinned brawn. Let's hope he's lost his appetite, too. Devil, I put that tin opener.
It's Higginbotham, Major. James O'Flaherty rode him crossing the island. That's lucky, too, isn't it? I mean, while he's here, he's not somewhere else, is he? We're lucky to have his company, I mean.
Oh, yes. Good evening, Mr. Higginbotham.
Evening, Major Kent.
Do have a seat, old man.
I've been rather annoyed this morning. I'm sure there's been some ridiculous mistake, which can be cleared up in 10 minutes. I thought I'd better come straight to you.
Quite right.
It's about sugar candy.
Great Scott, nearly kid.
All the children of the island have been following me about and bothering the life out of me for sugar candy. They say you set them on.
My dear Higginbotham, if you want to get on with the people of Inishgowlin, you'd better not nag their grandchildren.
If you could let me get a word in...
Are you aware that there are 2 English members of Parliament in that boat anchored a few yards away, and that they've come here expressly to see how you're getting on?
Mm-hmm.
If you'll take my advice, you'll seize the earliest opportunity of smoothing down old T.O.P. before they get listening to a story.
But the old man can only talk Irish.
So he gives out. Anyway, while you've been making your footling accusations, I've been doing you a good turn. You want old T.O.P.'s out of the better land, all right?
Well, you go up there tomorrow at 8:30 and talk to him about it.
Have you persuaded him to give it up?
I won't say another word. Just go up and see for yourself.
I say, I'm awfully obliged to Meldon. And I'm awfully sorry I bothered you about the sugar cane.
Say no more. But I'll tell you what you can do for me now. I have to go and call on the members of Parliament. What I want you to do is stay here and play chess with the Major till I get back. He's a world authority in the museum gambit.
Then what?
I'll go ashore myself in your curragh, Higginbotham, if I may. Major, give me sixpence.
James.
No time to argue. Thanks.
I went there walking one morning in May. I spied a young couple who fondly
Mary Kay.
Say, the one was a fair
Can I speak to you?
Yes, sir.
Well, Mary Kate, nice chase I've had after you. Your mother told me where you were. Tell me, did you see the two strange gentlemen that came off the other boat?
I did.
Did they give you sixpence the same as I did this morning?
They did not.
Where did they go when they came ashore? To the Iron House?
Back west.
Do you mean up the hill to the place where the cliffs are?
I do.
Strange. Mary Kate, do you see the sixpence?
I do.
Answer me this. Is Thomas O'Flaherty Pat your grandad?
He might.
Find him and tell him the gentleman who does be measuring out the land wants to see him tomorrow morning at 8:30. And mind this, if your grandad isn't there at 8:30, the house will be took off whether he likes it or not. But if he's there, well, maybe it won't. Do you understand all that?
I do.
Good. And I want you to be there as well so you can tell the gentleman what your grandad says.
Sure, there's no need.
I know that and you know that. But go all the same. And here's the sixpence for you.
Thank you, sir. Oh, one was a fair maid, so sweet and so fair.
J.J., I'll stand no more of this. You know I'm no good at chess. It was humiliating. Thank God he's gone. I don't see why he had to be kept here at all.
My dear Major, think. I had to keep Higginbotham occupied in some way to keep him off the island. I couldn't risk him bumping into members of Parliament and bringing up the subjects of geological surveys in schools.
You'll see them tomorrow anyway. It'll be the same in the end.
He may not see them. MPs can't afford to hang around. And even if he does, it'll be too late for them to interfere with us. We'll have the treasure by then. And I told you I'd manage Thomas O'Flaherty, Pat. Remember? Well, he's managed. Thoroughly and completely.
What did you do? Not that I care, of course.
I've managed it so that O'Flaherty, Higginbotham and even Mary Kate will be out of the way between 8 and 9:30 in the morning when we land, unknown and unseen at the pier. Three birds with one well end stone. Don't you think?
I wish very much, JJ, that there was some nearer way to this treasure hole of yours.
Well, there isn't. A pity you can't swim. You look as if you could do with cooling down. I reckon I'll be wading the last half of the journey. Don't let my clothes get washed away.
Here goes!
There! I'm walking already.
Man on a rope!
What?
Man on a rope!
Hang on and hold. That's strange advice from an old cynic like you. What's he pointing at? Good Lord! A man on a rope! How do you do?
Who the devil are you?
I am the Reverend Joseph John Meldon, B.A., P.C.D., curate of Ballymoy. Who are you and what are you doing here?
Mind your own business, dammit!
I wish you wouldn't swear.
Dammit!
Remember my claw.
You don't seem to have remembered it yourself. You couldn't be wearing less of it. Anyway, I'll swear if I like.
If you were a gentleman, you wouldn't take such an unfair advantage.
Well, I'll be hanged.
Are you a liberal or a conservative?
What the devil? What on earth has that got to do with you?
I'm surprised to find a member of Parliament so coy about his political persuasions.
I'm not a member of Parliament.
Well, so it's Mr. Langton then who is?
I know what you are. An escaped lunatic.
Now, don't lose your temper. There's nothing wrong with being an MP. What did you say you were doing here?
Birds nesting. What about you?
I'm bathing.
You'd better get on with it then.
Oh, no hurry. I'd rather talk to an MP while I had the chance.
How many times have I got to tell you I'm not a bloody, blast, confounded MP?
What are you then?
Perhaps you'll believe me and clear out of this if I tell you my name's Buckley. Sir Giles Buckley.
Sir Giles Buckley?
That's what I said. I've not even been in this cursed country for 10 years until a week ago.
I heard you disappear. I'm delighted to meet you, Sir Giles. Your father was always a liberal subscriber to our church funds. I hope you keep up the tradition.
I've no money, and if I had, I wouldn't pay a penny to keep a fellow like you in a job.
Oh, let me put the case to you.
Lenton, hold me up.
But Sir Giles...
You shut your mouth. Steady, Lenton, steady. You knock my brains out, and I'll do the same for you.
What was all that about?
They're neither of the members of Parliament after all.
Huh?
The one on the rope is Sir Giles Buckley.
Good heavens.
And the one hauling him up is Langton, of course.
Langton?
And the treasure is certainly in that hole. A man risks his life in a rotten rope to get down the face of a cliff to a certain hole at the bottom of it. What would he do that for?
I don't know.
Who else knows about the treasure besides yourselves?
I don't know.
What if old Sir Giles kept a diary as well, and the man I've just been talking to read it? He doesn't want to be seen in Ballymoy himself because he owes money there, perhaps. So he sends Langton to hire a boat for him. But there's just one thing that puzzles me.
Something actually puzzles you?
I know, it's hard to believe, I agree. What I can't understand is how did Buckley know about the hole in the cliff? The minute he landed yesterday, he went straight to the top of it. How did he know?
Perhaps that was in his grandfather's diary as well.
Then why didn't the old man find the treasure?
Because it wasn't there.
I give up. Pass my shore, please. We'll have to keep an eye on those two gentlemen when the tide's low. I do know that.
I expect they'll watch us too if they're really after the treasure.
Let them. I'll back myself to beat anyone at hide-and-seek. The man that diddled Higginbotham, Thomas O'Flaherty, Pat and Mary Kate can surely deal with Buckley. They're safely aboard now, Major.
Well, let's get to the Spindrift, then.
Oh, my God.
What?
Higginbotham's coming. I'm afraid he's getting to be a bit of a nuisance. I wonder if we could get him off the island somehow.
Hello there.
Only by cutting his throat, JJ.
He's an old friend. Besides, he might come in useful sometime. Higginbotham, how did you get on with the old man about the house this morning?
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. There was some sort of misunderstanding.
Are you telling me you've gone and botched up a perfectly simple business?
With the old man speaking only Irish and the little girl and I speaking only English.
Ah, but that's nonsense, Higginbotham, and you know it. Mary Kate speaks both languages fluently. I hope you haven't annoyed the old man by getting at her about the sugar candy.
I didn't even mention that.
Look here. I had a long talk this morning with Sir Giles Buckley. You know Sir Giles?
No, I don't. Who is he?
You saw him going ashore. He's something in the castle. Something important.
Oh.
Royal commissions, is it, Major?
What?
Never mind. He happens to be going around Ireland at present with Langton, his private secretary.
Not Usby Langton.
Usby Langton?
I don't think you knew him, but I did. Very well. He was in the college library in our time. Some sort of assistant there. He got sacked. Drink problem, I believe.
I remember, but this couldn't possibly be the one you know.
Tell me more about Sir Giles.
Well, I put in a good word for you. Said how you were doing the best you could with Thomas O'Flaherty Pat. He had some notion of stepping in to settle it himself. What would you think about that?
It would be very kind of him.
Very well. I'll arrange it. You leave it to me. And for goodness sake, don't go talking to Sir Giles yourself. You've no tact. You know you haven't.
I shan't go near him till you tell me. Thanks awfully, Meldon. I'm more obliged to you than I can say.
Got it. Got it. Got it.
What?
Major, I've got it.
What? Got what?
The answer. The missing piece of the jigsaw puzzle. How Langton fits in. It's amazing what a good night's sleep and a cold dip will do for you.
I'm listening.
In the first place, our Langton is indeed Usby Langton. He signed the agreement about the Oriole E. Langton.
Could be Ethelbert.
But it isn't. Next, where did Higginbotham say Usby Langton got sacked from?
I forget.
He got sacked from Trinity College Library. Think, Major. Think and break the habit of a lifetime. What's to hinder our friend Langton from picking up the tip about the whereabouts of the treasure from some book in the library? It might even be the log of the Spanish captain himself. Manuscripts can become an obsession, you know. Most probably it was there that drove Langton to drink in disgrace.
And that's the famous answer.
To the scientific mind, it's a plausible hypothesis.
Well, I haven't got a scientific mind. In fact, if I had any sort of mind of my own, I wouldn't listen to you for a minute.
But I just saw Sir Giles on his deck keeping an eye on us.
It's evident they intend to shadow us from now on.
I don't believe it. It's all imagination. I've had enough of this childish play-acting. I'm going to head for home, and I mean it this time, JJ.
Very well. I'll prove it to you to the satisfaction of your own eyes and ears. A quick bite, Major, and then we're going ashore.
Can you see them?
Yes. They're paddling in sure enough.
Proves nothing.
Right. Just let them tie up their pump. Sir Giles doesn't look too pleased. He must have interrupted his breakfast.
He has my sympathy.
Now, let them locate us again. That's it. And we're off. Come on, Major. Briskly does it.
Where are we going? Not all the way to that inlet again.
No need for that. Just far enough to test out my theory. Look round now and tell me if the two aren't following us.
Well, they're certainly coming this way.
Good. Round this rock, then. Come out of sight. Now we wait a moment.
I have to say I feel a thoroughgoing ass sneaking about hiding round corners.
Just remind yourself it's your lack of faith that's put you in this position. I speak as a professional.
I've got indigestion as well.
Shh! Quiet!
Disappeared into thin air.
They're like a couple of blasted mountain goats.
Morning, sir.
Good God.
No, his humble minion only. Good morning, Mr. Langton. We meet once more.
Good morning.
You got home safe yesterday of that cliff, Sir Giles. You were lucky. Take my advice and don't risk it again. There isn't a bird's egg in the world worth a broken neck.
Bird's eggs?
Oh, do you mean to say, Mr. Langton, that Sir Giles didn't tell you why he wanted lowering that rope? You're a trusting old soul, aren't you?
If it comes to that, why are you coming all this way for a swim when you've already had one not an hour ago, to my certain knowledge?
Oh, we're not going down to the water just at present. Merely taking a stroll while the weather holds. The air like wine, and the scenery. Better than grubbing among old fusty old manuscripts in the college library. Isn't it, Mr. Langton?
Well, how did you...
We'll get on, Major, shall we? Au revoir, gentlemen.
Very well. Goodbye.
It's your cheek, JJ. You take the biscuit.
I hope you're convinced now. You could see those fellas wouldn't let us stare in the direction of the cliffs without them.
I'm still not sure about the treasure. What do you intend to do?
For the moment, nothing. When the time comes to elude the vigilance of Sir Giles, I'll elude it. In the meantime, we'll just sit down here and wait till the tide rises and makes it impossible to get at the treasure. You look like a sultan sprawled in those cushions, Major. That tinned beef was succulent. You know, this is the finest holiday I've ever had. I've never enjoyed myself so much. Now that Sir Giles and Langton have come, they've added a spice of real adventure to the hunt. I shall sit here quietly and watch the Oreo for their next move.
You know, JJ, I've been thinking. I suspect you enjoy telling lies.
It affords a certain creative satisfaction, I must confess.
Strange. Well, I'm going to have 40 winks.
Again?
Now, don't wake me unless it's important.
Before you get too comfortable.
What is it now?
Something's happening. I do believe they're going ashore again. At high tide and without a rope. Give me another sixpence.
Eh?
Sixpence.
What do you want to do now? Pie them off?
It's for Mary Kate, of course. She's up by Higginbotham's wigwam. I'll pay her to shadow them for as long as they're on the land. They may be up to some game or other, and they may not. But if they are, I need to know, in case I have to modify my strategy. I'll arrange to meet the child by the pier when our friends are safely aboard again. The sixpence, please.
Why is it always me?
And they kissed so sweet and comforting as they clung to each other.
They here you are, Mary Kate. Good as your word. Did you do what I asked?
I did that, sir.
Ah, good girl. And where did the gentlemen walk to?
They were up beyond my granddad's.
At Thomas O'Flaherty Pat's. Were they talking to him?
They were not, for himself wasn't in it.
What were they doing?
Looking at the Pau Navuca.
At the what?
That's the hole that there does be in his field. Pau Navuca is the name that does be on it on account of them that's in it.
And that's all they did? Looked at Pau Navuca?
Sorry, a thing else?
Well, that beats everything. There's one more thing you can do for me, if you will.
I might.
I want you to walk up to the iron house where the gentleman lives that does be measuring out the land and tell him that I want to see him this evening. I'm not coming ashore again. He's to get someone to take him to the yacht. Do you understand?
Indeed I do, sir.
Don't hang about then. People will think we're courting, and that would never do.
No, sir.
Oh, by the way, If he isn't there, just you sit down outside the door and wait till he comes. Right? Off you go then. Goodbye, Mary Kate.
Goodbye, sir. And they kissed so
now
sweet
then, boats. Three boats. Let's have a look at you, my beauties, shall we?
If you want the truth, I'm bored, JJ. You may be enjoying yourself, but I'm not.
Patience, old man, a little longer. If it's excitement you want, you shall have it tomorrow. I give you my word, we're on the verge of bagging the treasure.
I still don't believe it.
I planned a coup d'etat for tomorrow, or is it a coup de théâtre? I don't expect you to play up to me. That would most likely be beyond you. But I hope you'll try and not actually give the show away when Higginbotham comes.
Oh, Higginbotham's in it, eh?
So is Mary Kate, so is Sir Giles, so is Langton, and so are you and I. Mary Kate told me Sir Giles and Langton went up to Thomas O'Flaherty, Pat's Field, and looked at the hole that's in it.
Is the hole part of the coup?
It is not. The fact is, I don't quite see how the hole comes in.
Would you like some tea?
No, not just now. Higginbotham will be here at any moment. Listen carefully. There seems to me to be only two available boats on the island. James O'Flaherty's Curragh and another.
There is a third. I saw three on the beach this morning.
No, one of them has a hole in the bottom you could put your foot through. So there are only two to be considered. Now, if James O'Flaherty was to go off tomorrow to Inishmore and his Curragh, and if I could put the other one out of action, so to speak.
Then knock a hole in her, too.
I can't do that. I shall temporarily conceal her oars, that's all. Now, if O'Flaherty's Curragh is off at sea and the other one is not available, and if Oriole's punt were to go adrift, I don't quite see how those two jokers could get ashore, do you?
But why should Oriole's punt go adrift?
I'd set it adrift myself in the night.
With Higginbotham in it?
No!
Where the devil does he come in?
He's going to Inishmore in James O'Flaherty's Curragh.
Oh, yes?
At about 6 a.m. He's going to hire it.
Does he know?
Not yet. But I want him out of the way so he can't interfere.
It sounds enormously complicated. There might easily be a hitch.
There'll be no hitch, Major, if it's carefully managed. That's not a torpedo. So it must be Higginbotham making contact.
It seems to be his style.
Anybody home?
No, I'll go. I'll have a chat with James O'Flaherty while you spin your yarn to Higginbotham down here.
Good evening, Major Kent. Oh, Mr. Meldon's waiting for you below. Right here. Thanks.
A cup of tea, Higginbotham.
Yes, please.
Oh, take a seat.
Thank you. What do you want me for, Meldon?
I think I told you that Sir Giles Buckley is a big bug in his own way.
Something in the cops?
Yes. Well, I discovered he is a sort of unattached official. Always at the ready to take up anything urgent that needs doing. At present, it happens to be tuberculosis.
I never heard of an unattached official in the castle. Oh, thank you.
No, he's here to fight the great white plague, and he wants you to help him. Tomorrow.
I don't know anything about tuberculosis.
Nobody supposes that you do. What he wants you to do was go over early tomorrow to Inishmore and James O'Flaherty's Curragh and make a list of all the cases of consumption you can find. You're to start at 6 a.m. and he'll follow in the Oreo later.
But I don't know...
Call on the parish priest when you land. He'll help you.
Why does Sir Giles send me the message through you?
Because he couldn't find you. He's been combing the island for you all afternoon.
I think I'll row over now and see him myself.
Oh, no, you'd better not.
Why?
Well, it's rather embarrassing, but in the evenings, he and Langton, both of them, you know, drinks a terrible course.
Good heavens, I've no idea.
Better just go to Inishmore as requested.
I suppose I'd better.
What, Major?
Not dressed yet.
That's rich coming from you. Been for another swim, I gather.
I can see you're not at your brightest at this time in the morning.
What time in the morning is it?
It's just gone 6 o'clock.
The coup, Major. It's working. I watched James O'Flaherty and Higginbotham embark for Inishmore's plan.
I'm still amazed Higginbotham swallowed all that stuff about tuberculosis. You've manipulated him shamelessly, poor fellow.
Perhaps we could give him a bag full of doubloons. I meant to ask you, what sort of fellow is the parish priest of Inishmore?
Father Mulcrone.
Has he a sense of humour? Will he see the joke afterwards, or is he the kind who'll make a row?
Well, is he your kind of joke? I can't say.
Probably won't make much difference anyway.
You have been swimming, haven't you? To the Oriole.
One punt successfully loosed and drifted.
And neither of them saw you?
They're not up yet.
Lucky devils.
That is why we must make for the shore without delay. Where are my trousers? Ah.
Well, what about breakfast?
We'll grab a few bits and pieces and breakfast ashore.
There was a time when I used to enjoy breakfast.
So far, so good. Now you fold up the punt, Major. We're going to take it with us.
Why?
Because if we leave it here, some fool might just use it to rescue those fellows. And also because you can't swim. A very useful collapsible punt. Get on with it while I see to the spare boat.
What are you doing?
Taking these oars.
Why? They're private property.
Because one spare boat with oars could be very useful to somebody. There we are. Four oars, Major.
Well, what are you going to do with them?
When you're ready, come with me and I'll show you.
This is theft, you know, JJ. Why have we come to Higginbottom's hut? Great Scott, that's malicious damage.
I've no alternative. I had to stow the oars away somewhere. Higginbottom shouldn't have locked his windows and doors.
Oh, it's his fault.
Absolutely. It's not as if he could expect burglars.
No.
In fact, I'm the opposite of a burglar, when you think about it. Give me that punt. You carry the paddles and we'll head for the cliffs. Breakfast will have to wait till we reach the cave.
You know, JJ, I'm not happy about what we've done to Sir Giles and Langton. They're as good a right as we have to this treasure.
I deny that entirely. Think what use those fellows would make of it if they found it. Sir Giles was so dissolute his father virtually disinherited him. Langton is a drunken sot.
I still don't
see... You're interested in politics, I take it.
Well, I know the nationalists are blackguards.
No, no, politics in a broad sense. I refer to the great streams of European thought, to the wide movements discernible among all civilized peoples. There are two sardines left. Would you like one of them?
No, you have both.
You may not see it, Major, but we're on the brink of a worldwide revolution. And the cause of it is the concentration of wealth in the hands of the few people who are using it for purely selfish purposes. It is our duty to see that only the well-intentioned and public-spirited get rich. On this island there is untold wealth in solid gold.
I suppose I shall come to believe it in the end.
There are only two parties in contention here.
Well, what about Higginbottom and Thomas O'Flaherty?
You can safely count them out, believe me. Things look rosy for you and me, Major. Very rosy indeed. Let's explore the cave while the tide's still in our favour.
I hope the punt will be all right there. I don't fancy being towed back round the promontory in a life-saving hold by you.
It'll be as safe as houses. Quite a large cave when you get inside. I expect the Spanish captain dumped his treasure right at the far end. Come along.
Oh, my hand!
It gets higher here. What beats me is that it doesn't get any darker as we go on. Just think, Major. The last feet that trod these stones were those of Spanish sailors.
Fascinating.
Major, look.
What?
The end of the cave. Come on. Treasure chest. What did I tell you?
Open them, open them.
Empty. After all that...
The moment I start to believe in the stupid treasure, it's gone.
Gone, as you say. But it can't have gone far. It must be on the island. All the arguments still point that way. Don't lose heart, Major.
What on earth's that?
I don't know, but it came from just round that bend. We're not at the end of the cave as we thought.
Be careful, JJ. That sounded like the roof falling in.
I'm just going to have a pee.
It's all right.
What's going on?
It's Sir Giles. He's escaped from the yacht. The roof has fallen in and he with it. He's standing there looking upwards and somebody's lowering a lantern, I think. I have it, Major, at last. The hole in Thomas O'Flaherty Pat's field. The mysterious Paul Nafuka. It opens straight into this cave. That's where the light's coming from. What a fool I'd be not to realise it.
Come on, man! Few more feet yet!
Let's talk to him. Good morning, Sir Giles. You won't need that lantern after all. The cave is quite light.
Ah,
It's that damned parson. I'm not entirely surprised to see you here.
But I'm surprised to see you.
Thought you boxed me up for the day, didn't you, setting my punt adrift? I just hoisted the mainsail and went after her. You're a dribbling imbecile.
Come with me and I'll show you something. There, Sir Giles.
Good God! The treasure!
They're empty. Both of them.
Huh? Have you got the stuff? No, you can't have.
The point is, you haven't. Now who's the dribbling imbecile? Don't lose your temper again. You might find yourself swearing.
Gammon blast your flaming eyes, you bloody hymn-singing, self-righteous, interfering, smarmy... What the hell?
Who the devil's that?
In my opinion, it's Langton. It dropped in his word to see that you didn't sneak off with more than your fair share of the treasure.
Oh, God. I'm crippled for life. Where the devil is he? I hope I've not buried him. Giles, I was just...
Ah, good morning, Mr. Langton.
You...
I hope you haven't hurt yourself. Oh, bend your knee, have you? I'm delighted to see you.
I told you to wait at the top for me, Langton. Who's going to haul us up now, I'd like to know?
It wasn't my fault. Look!
The face of God! Up there! Looking down through the hole.
You certainly fancy yourself, don't you, Meldon?
It's the old fellow. A flarty pat.
Give me quite a turn. The white hair and the beard. He is a friend of mine, as it happens, Sir Giles. He'll haul you up. I'll try. If the rope snaps, Langton can break your fall.
Give me that rope, Langton. I'll go mad if I have to listen any longer to this gibbering ape. Hey! You up there! Haul me up!
I forgot to mention he doesn't understand English. You're a luck. The old man's cottoned on. Arise, Sir Giles.
You wait, Meldon. Oh,
I haven't time at the moment, old chap. We'll be dodging off home now, Mr. Langton.
Yeah.
I hope your knee will be soon better. Goodbye. Come along, Major.
If ever I have to climb this path again, JJ, it'll see me off.
Take a short rest here. It's downhill from now on.
I say, JJ, remember what I said about hitches?
I couldn't foresee the treasure would be gone. I was right about where it had been, at least. I've been thinking. There are just two people at present alive who can possibly have that treasure. Higginbotham and Thomas O'Flaherty Pat. But Higginbotham's not the kind of man who'd come across hidden treasure, even by accident. Blinkered official mind, you know. Thomas O'Flaherty Pat, though. I'll have to apply my considerable mental powers to his case and see if I can come up with a suitable hypothesis.
I say, JJ, there's another yacht in the bay, a big steam yacht.
You're right, there is. It's a big boat, as you say. The man who owns her must be pretty wealthy. Now, what does he come here for?
Treasure hunting, I expect. Nobody comes here for anything else.
Don't jump to conclusions. There's nothing so unphilosophic as forming conclusions on insufficient evidence.
It wasn't a conclusion. It was a hypothesis. Naturally, you're bound to have a better one.
I have. The men on that yacht are members of Parliament.
Like Sir Giles.
So I made a mistake. But that yacht's not the Oriole, you know. Altogether more imposing. We'll get back to the Spindrift. I'm dying of hunger. Then I'll take a long, quiet afternoon to think things out.
Quiet afternoon, indeed.
Ah, there's one good thing about a morning's walk, such as we've had, Major. Even if you haven't pulled off the exact thing you've been out to do, you enjoy your dinner tremendously.
I should think after...
Shh! Who's that?
Spindrift ahoy!
Someone's hailing us.
Higginbotham?
Oh, I hope not. I'm not ready for him yet. Unlikely, though. He didn't bump us. Could be the MP. I'll go and see. You get the whiskey out.
Whiskey? Are you sure?
We want a little chat, Meldon.
Sir Giles, you'd better come aboard then.
Sir Giles? What to do about the whiskey? We waste it on him or not?
It's Sir Giles and Mr. Langton, Major.
I must apologize for losing my temper in the cave this morning.
I ought to apologize first. I played a shabby trick with the punt.
Oh, that was nothing. We didn't mind, did we, Langton?
We laughed. Oh, do sit down, gentlemen. Have a drop of whiskey, Major. Yeah.
Your health, gentlemen.
And yours.
Langton and I were naturally disappointed this morning when we found that those chests in the cave were empty. Neither of us has the treasure at the moment. What I've come to propose is this. Let's join forces and find the stuff, wherever it is. First of all, I suggest we table all the information we have. To show you we mean fair play.
Very well.
I'll speak first.
Go ahead.
When I'd finished settling my father's affairs, I was almost stony broke. One thing the lawyer sent me was a bundle of old papers, and among them was an old diary. More in idle curiosity than hope, I glanced through it. I gathered he visited this island in 1798.
We know all that. Major Kent's grandfather also kept a log.
I didn't think anything of it until I happened to meet another Englishman who was really stony broke.
I'm an Irishman, actually.
Same thing.
I beg your pardon, it is not.
No, gentlemen, if this conference is to go on, it must be conducted on strictly non-political lines.
I wasn't talking politics.
You were just telling us how you met Lent.
Well, we got yarning, and I told him of my grandfather's diary and of the Spanish treasure of Inishgowlan. It turned out he'd read somewhere...
In Trinity College Library, before I resigned my post there.
Resigned, was it?
If politics are banned, so are offensive remarks.
I apologise. We'll be non-sectarian as well as non-political.
You tell this part, Langton.
Well, I came across an old manuscript written in Spanish. It appeared to be the log of one of the Armada captains. It began with an account of being shipwrecked on a small island off the west coast of Ireland. The island wasn't named, nor was the situation described, but he told how he and his crew left the place in two colours. Now, before they went...
They hid the treasure.
Precisely. They meant to go back for it.
Did he mention the hole in Thomas O'Flaherty's field?
The Pal na Fuca? Yes.
I see. I couldn't understand how you got at that. Oh, this is most interesting. Go on.
The logbook broke off abruptly, didn't it, Langton?
Quite.
We decided we'd little to lose, so I sent Langton with what little money I could scrape together to hire a small yacht. You know about that small yacht, don't you, Meldon?
We agreed to leave religion out of it.
What did I say that was religious?
Well, you implied that I swindled Langton. In other words, you doubted my commitment to the Ten Commandments.
I've knocked about a good deal in my day, but I never met quite as queer a fellow as you.
Now, what do you propose to do now, Sir Giles?
Before going into that... We'd like to hear your story.
We've nothing to add. What we got from the Major's grandfather was virtually what you got from yours.
Cat, do you expect us to believe that out of all the possible hiding places, you lit on that cave straight off by accident?
Not at all. By inductive reasoning, by careful observation and a proper use of what is called the scientific imagination.
Strikes me as a bit thick, that. What do you say, Langton?
It's a damn lie.
JJ, this must be the first time you've spoken the truth since we've come to Inishgowlan, and it's the only time you haven't been believed.
We might as well go, Langton. There's nothing to be gained by sitting here arguing with men who have no sense of honour or decency. What the devil is that? Someone's rammed us.
Higginbotham. Don't go yet, Sir Giles.
Ahoy there! I'm coming aboard!
Down here, Higginbotham! You like him. He's frightfully keen in consumption, and he's got it into his head that you're interested too.
Consumption?
Tuberculosis. Not the kind of consumption you and Langton normally practice.
I've just got back. I can't stop. I came to tell you the Granuelle is in.
What's the Granuelle?
May I introduce Sir Giles Buckley?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't see you, Sir Giles.
What's the Granuelle?
It's the CDB yacht.
What's the CDB?
Oh, it's the Congested Districts Board. Higginbotham's employer.
The Chief Secretary is here. I'm expecting him up at my place any minute, and I must be there to meet him. Will my report do later, Sir Giles?
Report?
Thank you. I suppose you'll all come ashore soon and pay your respects. Bye for now.
Who is the Chief Secretary? What's he Chief Secretary of? That ABC?
The Chief Secretary is the principal boss of the government of this country. He's a far bigger man than the Lord Lieutenant. The present incumbent is a man called Willoughby, the Right Honourable Eustace Willoughby MP. I shall look forward to having some quiet chats with him while he's here.
Whatever he is, he's got nothing to do with us. Now, I tell you straight, Mr. Meldon, I mean to handle that treasure before I leave this island. We've offered to go shares with information, and you've refused. You won't have me for a friend, you'll find me a nasty enemy. Come on, Langton.
What are you up to now, Major?
I'm going to get up, sail, and go home. I daren't meet the chief secretary after all the lies you've told.
Is it the geological survey that bothers you?
That and other things. Higginbottom's bound to tell him all you've said.
Do you think he's going to remember everything he's authorized? He's swamped with applications. All you have to do is speak with confidence. Now tell me, Major Kent, are you going to bluff it or funk it?
Funk it?
But think of the treasure.
There's no treasure. Or if there is, somebody else has got it.
Oh, do try to be a little more altruistic, Major. What price public duty? Either Higginbotham or Thomas O'Flaherty is the gold. But that scoundrel, Sir Giles, means to steal it. Think of that poor old man done out of his hard-earned wealth, or of poor Higginbotham perhaps being murdered and lying in a lonely grave far from his family tomb. And it'll be your fault for not staying to protect them.
You're right, of course. I give up. Say what you like to the chief secretary.
I promise not to let you in for anything unpleasant.
I don't care. I'll end up in jail anyway, I know it.
He might be a nice, forgiving person.
Look at that.
Where?
That boat. Coming from the pier, heading for the Granuel. Perhaps he's leaving at once. I certainly hope so.
Wait a minute. He's not in it.
Not in it?
No. Let's have a look at the pier. Ah, yes. He's there. With Higginbottom. You can see him clearly through these. Plump little man in light grey clothes with a Panama hat. There was a cartoon in Punch.
What's happening on the Granuel?
Just a minute. She's getting up anchor, hoisting the boat in the davits. She's off somewhere and in a dickens of a hurry.
Without the chief secretary?
Precisely. But why? He surely can't mean to stay the night in Higginbotham's wigwam. There's only one bed and I happen to know it's full of broken glass.
Broken glass?
It was underneath the pane I smashed this morning when I hove the oars in through the window.
My God.
Oh, this is becoming serious. What are we going to do?
I'm going to stay here and wait for a breeze. You can stay with me if you like and escape.
I have to go ashore. The chief secretary will think Higginbotham's been trying out some new kind of apple pie bed on him. Gashed and bleeding, he'll blame the wrong man and Higginbotham can kiss goodbye to his prospects.
Go on, then. Do what you must.
J.J.,
Higginbotham, I've never seen you move so fast.
Melton, please, don't tie up. Get in the punt again and go back to the yacht.
No, take your time, man. Get your breath back.
He's frightfully angry.
Who is?
The chief secretary.
Has he gone to bed yet?
Gone to bed? Why should he?
Well, if he hasn't, I don't see what he's angry about. Anyway, I still need to see him. Are you coming?
He's angry about Major Kent and the geological survey of the island. I didn't realize you were pulling my leg. Fortunately, I didn't mention the National School or Sir Giles Buckley. He called it intolerable insolence and unwarrantable use of his name.
Then it's even more urgent that I have a chat with them. I owe it to you.
But don't you see? It's not me he's angry with. It's you.
That'll change as soon as he gets into bed. Then he'll tear you limb from limb unless I straighten things out.
I don't understand. Oh, Melton, please don't do it. I beg you.
It's time somebody took that chief secretary in hand. Here we are. Are you going to knock or shall I?
Oh, Melton, for the last time, please don't go in. Oh, God in heaven.
Hello. How can I help you?
Mr. Willoughby, I believe. My name is the Reverend J.J. Meldon, B.A. of T.C.D. Look, please, don't get off. I shouldn't dream of taking your chair. I'll sit on the corner of the table. I came here to give you a word of advice. Don't sleep in Higginbotham's bed tonight.
My bed?
I haven't the slightest intention of sleeping in it.
Well, that's a relief. The fact is, it's full of broken glass.
What?
Broken glass?
Well, I hardly need to tell a man of your experience that broken glass in a bed doesn't suit everybody, unless you're used to it.
Mr. Higginbotham.
No, it's not his fault. He doesn't know about it.
That's absolutely true.
Mr. Higginbotham, I think I should like to take a stroll round the island.
Mm? Oh, with the greatest of pleasure, sir.
Allow me to take you. I can show you the sights. You want to see Thomas O'Flaherty's bit of land in particular, I expect. How do you propose to deal with that problem?
Of course,
it's your affair, not mine. Still, if I can be of any help to you, you've only got to say so.
If I want your assistance, Mr. Meldon, I shall. In the meantime...
Oh, you don't speak Irish, I suppose. Oh, that's a very difficult language.
I'm not very good at it myself, but I know more than Higginbotham.
I have been trying, sir, I assure you.
This is intolerable.
I noticed that you sent your yacht away, Mr. Willoughby. No, that's what made me think you're going to sleep in Higginbotham's bed if she's not back before night.
Now, look here.
No, that's none of my business either. I know you're going to say. I only mentioned the steamer because the conversation seemed to be languishing. Let's change the subject. Do you think the weather will hold up?
Mr. Higginbotham, will you be so good as to go up to the old man you spoke of?
Thomas O'Flaherty Pat.
That's the man he means, Higginbotham.
And tell him?
No, if you're going to tell him anything, don't forget to take someone who understands Irish.
And tell him that I shall expect him in about an hour to meet Father Mulcrone.
Oh, I see. So that's where the yacht's gone, Inishmore. You sent for the priest to talk sense to the old boy. Well, it's a pity you didn't consult me. We could have asked Mary Kate, his granddaughter. She speaks both languages and would do anything for me.
I'll be off, sir.
Mr. Meldon, you've chosen to force your company on me this afternoon in a most unwarrantable manner, but as you are here, you can tell me what you mean by telling that outrageous story to Mr. Higginbotham.
You're probably referring to the geological survey of this island.
And that I employed a man called Kent to do it. I regard that as insolence.
You do know Higginbotham, of course?
Yes.
Intimately.
I met him for the first time this afternoon.
Ah, well then you can't be said to know Higginbotham. In the circumstances, you ought not to go leaping to conclusions. I said the same thing this morning to Major Kent when he insisted you'd come here to search for buried treasure.
What? Let's keep to the point, shall we? I don't see how Mr. Higginbotham's character alters the fact that you made a statement which you know to be a baseless invention.
No, I've always heard of you, Mr. Willoughby, as an educated and cultured man. I may assume, therefore, that you know all about pragmatism.
I don't.
Well, you ought to, in your position. Let me explain.
Do you mind if I smoke?
Oh, smoke away, if it helps you concentrate. Now, the central tenet of the pragmatist philosophy, as of the Richelieu theology, is that truth and usefulness are identical.
Eh?
What that means is this. A thing is true if it turns out in actual practice to be useful. Now, I dare say that sounds startling to you at first, but if you think it over quietly for a while, you'll get to see there's a good deal in it. Light?
Thank you.
The test of truth, then, is usefulness. Now, apply it to this particular case. The story I told Higginbotham turned out to be extremely useful. Well, I can't tell you precisely how, but take it from me, its usefulness has been amply demonstrated.
So am I to understand that you regard any lie as justifiable if it serves its purposes?
Oh, no, no, certainly not. No, you're missing the whole point. A statement isn't a lie if it proves itself in actual practice to be useful. It's true. There, you've let your cigar go out. Allow me. The fact is, you're almost certain to be a pragmatist yourself since you're a politician. Lying is part of the game.
A lie is a lie. I don't see you've made your case at all.
Very well. I've done my best. We'll consider the matter closed.
We will not.
Mr. Willoughby. Oh, you're still here, Melvin.
Mr. Higginbotham at last.
I'm terribly sorry.
No. I'm more than pleased to see you at all.
You didn't bring O'Flaherty then, Higginbotham?
No. I thought I was supposed to tell him to come later.
Perhaps I should think about gold.
Not yet, Mr. Meldon. Please, I'd take it as a personal favour if you'd stay here and see me through the interview between Father Mulcrone and the old man who won't give up his land. The priest's already extracted a promise from me for thousands of pounds worth of seed potatoes. I'm like clay in his hands.
Certainly, Mr. Willoughby. I'll protect you from any further extractions if I can.
If anybody can, it'll be you. I'm much obliged.
Mr. Higginbotham, stick your head out the door and see if the steamer is anywhere in sight yet. Mr. Willoughby, your cigar has gone out yet again.
The Barnwell is just coming round the south point of the bay.
Higginbotham, you'd better go and collar Thomas O'Flaherty Pat.
He promised to come here as soon as the Barnwell dropped anchor.
Don't rely too much on his promises. You can't believe a word these people say, Mr. Willoughby.
Pragmatists, are they?
No, they are not. Pragmatists, according to their own idea, know what truth is. These people don't. Well, I'd better go and meet Father Mulcrone when he lands. Goodbye to you.
Goodbye.
Mr. Higginbotham, did you follow all that?
Not quite, sir.
You don't happen to know a good book on pragmatism, I suppose?
No, sir.
He's a remarkable man, your Mr. Meldon. Curate, is he?
Yes, sir.
Thank God I'm not in his parish. Mr. Higginbotham, most timely. You'll know Father Mulcrone, of course.
Good day to you, Father.
And this will be Mr. Thomas O'Flaherty Pat.
Neil Berlogum. Neil Berlogum. Who do you think you're trying to deceive? Do you realise what trouble you're putting these good people to by stubbornly gan ligging do yet at a loon sogester via an Irus not planning a Uru that Inish Gurlin?
Shit halu sogum suratan.
Nah, be ho, cadrena de Shenadek.
Ni yil hi me, a jelum yat, ni yil hi.
Here are he larsi. Us. He agrees.
Oh, half an hour dead, I should say.
Is that all? A more obstinate man I never met. But have your papers together tomorrow morning, and I'll see that he signs them. On your way, Thomas.
We're greatly obliged to you.
We are indeed, Father Baltram.
Here, here.
And now, gentlemen, I hope you'll come and dine with me aboard the Grand Way.
Oh, I accept with pleasure.
I can offer you a small cabin for the night, Father Malcrone.
In that case, I accept too, Mr. Willoughby.
Come along, then. By Jove, Mr. Melvin, I don't like the look of that sky.
Oh, it'll be blowing hard before morning. The Major's going to get his breeze after all.
Major Kent, of course. Don't you must go and fetch him too, Mr. Meldon. I'd love to meet him.
I'm afraid if I set foot on the Spindrift, he'd whip up the anchor and run me home.
Pity. Now the Spindrift, is
the one to the south. Ah. It belongs to the Major. The other one, the Oriole, belongs to me.
Belongs to you?
I hired it to Sir Giles Buckley and his friend, Hughesby Langton. Good Lord. I can see them now coming ashore in the punt. Near the pier. See?
Who is Sir Giles Buckley?
Oh, a bad lot. A beast, in fact. Too fond of raising the elbow. Actually, somebody had to warn Thomas O'Flaherty, Pat. It makes me nervous to see Sir Giles coming ashore in the dusk.
You're concerned as you credit, but I don't suppose I'd understand the danger even if you explained it to me.
The moon was a ghostly galleon tossed upon cloudy seas.
What moon? You're too literal minded, Higginbotham. I'm quoting. If it comes to that, it isn't yet a sea to toss a galleon, but it soon will be by the look of it. I think I'll take the punt on board tonight and pay out a few extra fathom of anchor chain. If I were you, I'd stuff an old towel into the broken window. Good night to you.
Good night, JJ. How glad I am you got on so well with Mr. Willoughby. Good night.
I was sure.
Who is it?
Master.
Come closer.
Master.
Well, I'm blessed. If it isn't old Thomas O'Flaherty, Pat. So you've got at least one word of English.
I have plenty.
I always thought you had. It was a brilliant disguise. And I know what I'm talking about. What is it you want?
It's yourself, Master.
Is it then? Is it wanting me to speak a word for you to the Chief Secretary, to get back your house and land?
It is not.
Well, that's wise. I must confess, I thought they played a mean trick on you, bringing in the priest, though. And I admired your pluck. Why do you want me, then?
I'd be thankful to you if you'd step up to my little house in the place that they're going to take from me.
What for?
There's that there that I'd be glad to show you. Maybe you'd tell me what would be best to be done. It's what I never expected to show to any man, let alone a stranger such as yourself. But my mind is made up.
Is it the treasure you've hid there?
Treasure?
Gold. Do you understand?
It might, then.
How much is there?
There's a power. Glory be to God, there's a mighty deal of it.
I dare say you guessed that the Major and I were after the treasure ourselves.
I did.
And the gentlemen from the yacht were after too.
How else would the likes of them be going down to poor Nafuka?
Well, I'll say this. If I wasn't going to get it myself, I'd sooner you and Mary Kate had it than another.
Sure, what's the use of talking? The board will take it all anyway. They have the house and land. There's no doubt about that.
But they haven't got the treasure yet. You came to the right man when you came to me. Huh? If the treasure can be saved, I'll save it. What do you say if he took it to your daughter and hid it under her bed?
She'd steal it.
Ah, no, you're very hard on your relatives. Have you any idea in your head?
I told.
Maybe you and the Major would take it with you in the yacht and put it in a savings bank beyond in the big town.
That beats everything. You wouldn't trust your own daughter, but you'd trust it to complete strangers.
Sure, I knew as soon as I set eyes on you, you were simple and innocent and harmless. You couldn't get the better of a child, let alone a grown man like myself.
Is that supposed to be a compliment? If you ever say such a thing again...
Come along now. Let's not waste the night and talk. Come in then, master. Here, hold this candle while I light it.
Well, it's certainly compact, I suppose, Thomas. But where would you conceal a hoard of treasure?
Just let me prise up one of these boards. There. Now, the others lift out. Shine the candle in the hole.
Glory be to God! It's a mirage! No, it isn't. It's a fortune. Oh, Major, can't worry you now. In the name of wonder, how many coins are there?
1,960.
You have 5,000 or 6,000 pounds worth, I should say. You're a rich man, Thomas O'Flaherty, Pat. If it wasn't for Gladys Muriel, I'd wait a few years on the chance of marrying Mary Kate. However did you manage to get all this money up out of the cave?
I climbed up and down a rope with a few at a time. It would surprise you how heavy a load even that can seem, and nobody to give me a hand.
Indeed. And what made you think of looking in Paul Nafuka?
Sure, the people always had it. There was a deal of treasure on the island somewhere. But the place nobody ever searched was the House of the Fairies.
That was a fine bit of deductive reasoning, Thomas. So your desire to win the race overcame your own fears?
Something of that.
Well, the race isn't over yet. Are you still bent on taking the gold away with me in the yacht?
I am. I thought I'd fasten that door.
Shh. Somebody's in here. Who is it? Who's there?
I am. Oh! That's the bloody curate down and out. Get the old man.
It's pitch black.
The useless clown, Langton. Close the door and block it. Now, you old bastard, where are you? Langton, a light.
Yes, Giles.
So that's where you are.
Get off me or let me go.
Langton!
What?
Kyle Flaherty, young man. He's as strong as a bloody ox.
Go, Wastart.
Yeah. Right. Now the curate. Better gag this one. Door, Langton.
Yes, Sir Giles.
You drag the old man. I'll take his reverence.
Lord, get off me. You're bloody. Now, Wastart.
Prop them up against this wall. It's more shelter than they deserve. When it gets lighter, we'll lower them into the cave and leave them there.
They might die.
Rubbish. Somebody's bound to find them eventually, and it'll give us a start.
Should we gag the old man as well?
Nah, not worth it. It's just that I'm allergic to Meldon's voice. Come on, let's get inside and load up the gold. That's the lot. It'll take both of us to carry it, but we should have enough time. Get that door open, and we'll be off.
I can't see a blind thing.
All you've got to do is follow me.
I couldn't hold it. You pulled it out of my hand.
It's that blasted clergyman again. I fell over him. He must have rolled here or something. The rain must have brought him round. Damn and curse, you Meldon! I'd like to break every bone in your...
Stop kicking him! Stop it, I say! You want to kiss us both hanged?
It's almost worth hanging for, Meldon. I'm going to put you somewhere you won't get away from so easily. Give me a hand, Langton. Come on, drag him over here to the wall.
We mustn't kill him.
Right. This time, we drop him over it.
Take his feet, Langton. Come on, come on. Together. Now. Lift. Have a good mind to hit him over the head again for luck.
No!
Don't worry, Langton. We've more important fish to fry. I'm going back to the yacht for a lantern. Candles are no good out here.
Can't we just take what's left in the bag?
And leave a small fortune scattered about the lane? You're wet, Langton.
I certainly am. Soaking.
I meant... go into the hut and dry out. Those two won't cause you any trouble now.
Thomas! Thomas O'Flaherty Pat! Can you hear me?
That I can, but only just...
I daren't speak too loud for fear of bringing Langton out. I've managed to work my gag loose. You'll have gathered.
That was a clever trick you played. Tripping them up, to be sure.
I learned it from a donkey.
What?
Listen. I'm going to roll again now. And see if I can reach Mary Kate's cottage. It'll take quite a while, but I hope to be well on my way by the time Sir Giles comes back.
I hope so too. But aren't they scheming for the droppers down the pole in the fuga?
Oh, are they? Well, we'll have to see about that. Keep your chin up, Thomas. Goodbye to you.
That's the lot, I think. We'd better see to those two jokers before we leave. Come on. The old man's safe enough. But Meldon's gone.
Can he have got loose?
Impossible. He can't be far. We'll have to look for him.
No. Let's get out of here as soon as we can. People will be waking up.
Yeah. Well, we can but hope he's lying dead somewhere. Help me with this old fool then, huh?
Mary Kate! I say, Mary Kate!
I'm hearing you.
Go and get a knife! Hurry, please!
Why, just tied up you are. Who's after doing that?
For heaven's sake, stop grinning and get a knife! When you finish cutting me free, Mary Kate, go in and wake up your dad. Tell him to go to Paul Nafuka with a rope and a ladder and he'll find your granddad at the bottom of it.
Is it the fairies that's got him?
You'll forget about the fairies if you don't want to find your granddad dead. Get a knife! I've a boat to catch. Or rather, barrel. Fire! Fire!
Mr. Meldon, what are you doing here? What's on fire?
No, nothing's on fire. I just wanted to wake you up. That yacht, the Oriole, send a boat to stop her sailing now.
Why?
Look, never mind why. Do it!
I can't possibly do that.
Will any of you men lower a boat and come with me?
I'll come with you.
Father Mulcrone, you're the only true man aboard the Grand Whale. Hop into my curragh.
Wait! Hold on!
I'll explain it all later, Mr. Willoughby.
They've pulled the anchor up and they're bringing a head round. Pull hard, Mr. Meldon. Shove the stern of the curragh in and I'll grab the weather bulwarks.
Well done, Father. Hang on there while I climb aboard and come up behind them.
Go, whoever you are, or I'll smash your bloody fingers!
Oh, my hand!
Let go, damn you!
I've got him, Father. Right, Sir Giles. You can go and wash your mouth out with salt water. Don't you get in my way, Langton, or you'll follow your friend. Father, you can let go and sit back in the boat now. Go and pick Sir Giles up and bring him ashore. I'll bring the Oriole in.
He doesn't deserve it.
I'm glad you came ashore too, Mr. Willoughby. It rounds it off like a drama, doesn't it? All the characters and even the extras gathered together for the finale.
These island people, simple souls, not used to drama.
All we need is thinking about them and Major Kent. But the Major's still nervous of you on account of the geological sort.
Talking of drama, there's still a bit of the plot that needs clarifying. Why did you want to prevent those two from sailing away in the Oriole?
Well, with the strong wind and the rotten timbers, Sir Giles and Langton would have drowned for certain.
Nearly did, damned drowned.
Oh, you wanted to save him from drowning, I understand. And that's why you flung him into the sea.
There wasn't anything else to do. Was there, Father Mulcrone?
There was not. The man was dancing on me knuckles and trying to kick me in the face.
Meldon's a damned... damned...
language, Sir Giles, please.
Damned liar.
Why do you say that?
Would you like to unburden your mind, Sir Giles?
I'm not in your confessional, damn it.
All the same, I should like a fuller explanation from somebody. I only came here to settle a dispute about land.
May I suggest we hear it on the Grand Weir? Those fellows with Thomas O'Flaherty, Pat over there, look to be in an ugly mood.
It's Sir Giles they're angry with. They didn't like the way he treated their king. We'd better take him and Langton with us. Besides, Sir Giles is soaking wet.
And I'm still in my pyjamas.
Just give me a minute, then, and I'll pacify the mob. All it needs is a word with Mary Kate. Mary Kate!
You wanted something, sir?
Will you do one last thing for me?
I might. Is there a sixpence?
Well, go to your granda and tell him this from me. We went aboard the Grand Whale, and I had a bath.
Good heavens, JJ, you must have been filthy.
I was so wonderfully drowsy at breakfast that I dropped off where I sat. The next thing I knew, I was lying in a bunk and being shaken by Father Mulcrone. Mr. Willoughby was there, but neither Sir Giles nor Langton. Mr. Willoughby told me Sir Giles had demanded to leave, and all four of them had gone ashore. Then he told me that he and Father Mulcrone had been told the whole story by Thomas O'Flaherty, Pat and Mary Kate. You can imagine how I felt.
Can I?
Oh, Major! I was sure the O'Flahertys had handed the government the treasure on a plate. A golden one at that. After all I'd done, how would you have felt? But good sense prevailed. Do you remember my telling you I had a private word with Mary Kate just before we all embarked for the Grand Whale?
Tell me again.
Well, I said to her, go to your granddad and tell him this from me. If there's anything that belongs to him in that yacht, let him get it out of her and away with it before we come ashore again. Sure enough, the Oriole was looted while we were at breakfast.
What'll the government say to that?
As far as the government's concerned, the treasure never existed. Higginbotham came out of his hut and tried to stop the looters, but they ran him back and locked him in. Later, Mulcrone let him out and locked Sir Giles and Langton in instead, for their own safety. Mind you, the islanders will soon let up on them. They'll all have a whack of the treasure by this time, which means they'll have enough money among them to buy out the island without asking a penny from the board. I'm sorry you missed so much of the fun, Major.
I had a grandstand view of some of it.
I'm sorry you didn't get any of the treasure, then. I expect you're still worried about the possibility of losing your property.
It does cross my mind now and again.
Well, I haven't even begun to apply the great mind to that problem yet. But I managed the treasure, didn't I? Rest assured, I'll manage that too.
Almost inclined to believe you will. I'm not going to let it spoil the rest of our holiday in any case. From now on, it's lazy cruising, peace and harmony.
Major.
Yes?
You remember that Oriole is wrecked and that Sir Giles and Langton are marooned?
Yes?
And you realize they can't just stay there and that it would be awkward for Mr. Willoughby to take them?
Yes.
Well, I promised him we'd take them back in the Spindrift.
You what?
I knew you wouldn't mind.
Oh, damnation.
In Spanish Gold by George Birmingham, Kieran Cunningham was the Reverend J.J. Meldon and Stuart Richman, Major Kent. Higginbotham, Chris Wilkinson, Sir Giles Buckley, Michael Irving, Langton, Neville Barber, Willoughby, Christopher Kent, Thomas O'Flaherty, Pat, Sean Barrett, Mary Kate, Fenella Norman, and Father Mulcrone, Richard Tate. The radio adaptation was by Alan England, and the play was directed in Manchester by Dave Sheesby.